I've been informed by Ms.
Conrad,
thank you. Name blank already. It is officially 9 o'clock, so we will start the meeting. First of all, I'd like to call to order and acknowledge that we are in the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq people, Mi'kma'ki, the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq people. And also, I just would like to notice that Councillor Hustovit is away. I believe he is on vacation. We'll start our meeting, if we may, of the Finance Committee with announcements, acknowledgements, and recognition. And I believe, Your Worship, you have a proclamation to make, and you are cleared to do proclamations, so we'll let you go.
Purple Day for Epilepsy Proclamation. Whereas Purple Day is a global effort dedicated to promoting epilepsy awareness in countries around the world, and whereas Purple Day was founded in 2008 by Cassidy Megan, a 9-year-old girl from Nova Scotia who wanted people to know that if you have epilepsy, you are not alone. And whereas epilepsy is one of the most common neurological conditions, estimated to affect more than 50 million people worldwide and more than 300,000 people in Canada. And whereas the public is often unable to recognize the common seizure types or how to respond with appropriate first aid. And whereas Purple Day will be celebrated on March 26th annually to increase understanding, reduce stigma, and improve the quality of life for people with epilepsy throughout the country and globally, I therefore proclaim March 26th, 2020, Purple Day in the municipality of the District of Lunenburg in an effort to raise epilepsy awareness everywhere. And I proclaim.
Thank you. Is there a donation jar or something that we have? I notice we have purple ribbons here. Is there a donation jar that has been provided by the association?
I'm not sure the ribbons came.
Right. If there is, let us know, please. Are there any other acknowledgments, recognition, or announcements from members of council? All right. Hearing none, we will move on. I just want to make one other comment. Because we have a full agenda today, lunch will be brought in. I'm not sure if that information has been circulated, but just to make you aware. So we'll have a working lunch if we go over time. We're looking for public input. Anybody here for public input? Obviously none. We have approval of the agenda. I just want to make one note before anybody else can make a motion to approve the agenda. On 10.1.1, it has pre-approval of 2020-21 capital budget for the Lifestyle Center. This is just an information piece. This committee will not be, there will be no motion for approval of that. Okay. I'm looking for approval of the agenda, please, by someone. By Councillor Noss, seconded by Councillor Moore. All in favour, please acknowledge. Thank you. It looks like it's an unanimous. We have the minutes of February the 4th, 2020. Looking for any comments on those or a motion to approve.
So moved.
So moved by Mayor Balifagetson, seconded by Councillor Carver. All in favour, please signify by acknowledging. Thank you very much. We have no business arising from the minutes. No awarding of tenders. We have no presentations and we have no correspondence. Maybe we should be cancelling lunch. I guess we're going into item 10.1.1, and this will be the budget for the Lunenburg County Community Lifestyle Center, and that's on pages 2 to 4. Who's going to take this, please? Okay, our CEO, Tom McEwen, will be leading the discussion on this item. Coming from the lower
from the
part
back,
of the chamber here.
From the back benches to the front.
Back benches.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're going to have a brief discussion on the LCLC capital budget. So what we have in the package at page 4 is the LCLC 5-year capital budget for the year ending March 31st, 2021. The bulk of the request is related to the TRAC energy efficiency study, which is in its final stages. The final report hasn't quite been completed, but TRAC has identified those aspects of the building that they are recommending for improvement. The gist of their review indicated that the systems within the LCLC are not only not efficient, but in several cases are acting against each other, and it's resulting in an excessive use of energy. By their analysis, if we follow their capital improvements, the LCLC could experience up to 51% reduction in the utility cost, which is almost $250,000 a year in savings. So the track report you can see is a $672,991.23 capital improvement. In order to make sure that we're being as diligent as we can, the LCLC board is looking to have a peer review done of the track report this year by bringing in a consultant that works in the field of mechanical engineering, just to ensure that that the track numbers are supported by what's in the report. So that's sort of the first step in making sure that the capital improvements that track are recommending will actually result in the savings. The measures are broken down into measure cost one, the geo exchange fluid control and isolation, at just under $41,000. Measure two cost, ice facility pumping at $42,000. Measure three cost is connected AHU pumps and fans at $60,000. Measure four cost is refrigeration and dehumidification at $430,000. And measure five cost is consolidated controls and integrated energy management, $100,000. We also have Energy Efficiency Nova Scotia is also reviewing the track report because there will be a grant application submitted to Energy Nova Scotia. We're budgeting as if that grant has not been awarded, but in the event that it is awarded, it would offset some of the costs that are being incurred. The other measures that we're looking at are the Wi-Fi and network upgrades. So these aren't related to the track report. These are other capital investments that are being recommended by the LCLC staff through the board. There is an acknowledged problem with the Wi-Fi and internet within the building, and they've identified that there are certain bottlenecks related to the system that's in place. The number that's been recommended by LCLC staff, and in particular their IT manager, is $35,000. We have requested, the board has requested, that LCLC staff make contact with the MJSB IT department and have them do a review and independent recommendation with respect to the cost. So we have reached out to David Muse and asked that this be a priority of the IT department and the MJSB. So when that request comes, David and his team will respond. They've provided with some background information that they have looked at this problem in the past. We're looking for confirmation from MJSB that they think the $35,000 solution is reasonable, future-proof, and it's going to achieve the results that we want. That number may change depending on the MJSB report and recommendation, but for the purpose of this discussion, we're looking at $35,000. There's the active living room flooring, $31,500, and the inflatables for the aquatics at $17,500. So the capital budget itself is going to be presented by Kent Walsh, the LCLC general manager, on March 10th at the council meeting. So he'll be able to answer more questions related to both the operation and the capital budget. But we wanted to give council sort of a preview of what they can expect from the LCLC because it's a relatively new building, and we're looking at a considerable capital investment in excess of $700,000. And when we get into a more detailed discussion about the LCLC capital budget, when you add in the track report, the other recommendations, and the project manager for the eventual construction, the total budget's getting up in the range of $800,000, to choose a conservative number. The good news is we do have money in reserve in a sufficient amount to cover our contribution to the capital costs. So previous councils have been prudent in putting money into the reserve, and that can be used as a source to offset the costs. Based upon the energy savings that we'll see, the estimated return on investment is 2.2 to 2.9 years. So the plan that will go forward would be to, in addition to putting our regular reserves in place for the LCLC, we would take the savings that we see from the reduced energy costs and replenish the LCLC reserve so that in 2.2 to 2.9 years, our financial position is as good as it is today.
Sorry. Any questions from members of council? If I may, I'd like to just ask, if I may, your wish, I know you put your hand up first.
No, go ahead.
But people who are not on the board, if you would like to ask questions first, because we're very familiar with this, is that okay? I'm breaking procedure here a little bit. Councillor Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question to Tom through you, please. Trying to get this sorted out in my mind. We have a fairly new building here, which is looking at substantial upgrades. Do you know if any of these things that are listed here were a result of the cost-saving measures that was done in the months before the construction, where we start downgrading some of the original project? Trying to come in on budget, or were the engineers that we had planning this project originally maybe miscalculated the construction needs of the building?
So I'm not in a position to indicate whether the inefficiencies that have been identified in the track report are related to any changes in design. Track came in and they did an analysis of the systems that are in place and identified those areas where efficiencies could be improved or where systems had to be changed completely. So they actually looked at what was on the ground. I don't believe that they looked at what was changed in the initial design. There is a track report that can be made available, but it's incredibly dense and technical in nature.
And I understand that if I looked at a plan like that, it may not mean anything to me. I'd have to have someone explain it to me. And maybe even then I may have difficulty in understanding what they were trying to tell me. The thing is, from my point of view, I have to try to make decisions based on the information that I'm presented with. And that's why we go to outside resources sometimes to get what we think is qualified people to advise us. In this major purchase that building this building, we, around this table at the time, was at the mercy of the reports we were given. I just find it somewhat concerning that I'm being asked just a few years later to make a major upgrade like this because we may have incurred some abnormalities on how the building was originally constructed. That's my comment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Noss, and then if nobody else has questions, we'll come back to you.
Mr. Chairman, I think from memory that item number four was one of the things that was we cut back on in order to save money. That's the dehumidifying, the refrigeration dehumidifying, because they had problems there with fog on the ice. And this is what I think that machine is, that's what it's for. That was, I believe, one. And the other one is, and we talked about this now for quite some time, is the fluid exchange, the fluid into it. That was something that really was, I think, not the proper fluid put into the system. We heard that, what, 2 or 3 years ago? Tom would know that.
So it's the same fluid that was removed from the Rath Eastlake Center in Truro.
Yes. Yeah,
which was removed from the Truro facility, mm-hmm. And then the LCLC was built, and that same fluid was put into the LCLC.
Yeah.
So it's recommended that that be removed and replaced.
And I don't know why, but there's something. It's not the most efficient fluid.
And it's environmentally toxic.
Environmentally toxic, yes. So that's few of them that I can remember.
Mayor Bolvigesman, thank you for your patience.
Thank you. And I guess when you look back, I agree 100% with Councillor Bell, Councillor Noss, and what everyone else is thinking in here. We've got a 5-6-year-old building. Looking at, you expect that when you hire individuals to put a system in place that it's going to work at the end of the day. I'm not going to pretend to be an engineer or any type of energy efficiency person with the qualifications to do anything about it. But this building was built to a LEED Gold standard. You'd think that a building that was built to a LEED Gold standard would have those energy efficient qualities in place at the end of the day, not just to build it to there, but to be able to continue from that point and still be energy efficient. We're not seeing that. The systems that are in place there now are working against each other, and which could have, I'm going to be honest with you, could have ramifications down the line because these systems are working so hard right now to do what they need to do. We're wearing out our systems that we have in place. What this will do, and it looked simple when they showed us in the diagram when they actually explained it all out to do this, but if we can save $250,000 a year in energy costs, I guess we can't not do this. We have to do this. We have to proceed with this. We're only talking 2.5 years to realize the upside of this, and without doing this, the actual capital equipment that's in there, we're going to be faced with replacing much, much sooner. And hopefully we're not at that point now because of the way the systems are operating. And the dehumidification piece, yes, there was dehumidification problems right from day one when they opened. And there's been 2 or 3 reports back on ways to fix the dehumidification by adding more air handling units and doing whatever. This probably would have added, if we would have proceeded with some of the recommendations in the past, it probably would have added to a worst-case scenario than what we're dealing with here right now. So I think that looking at, I hate to say that $800,000 here we should be putting into this new building to me. And I guess my other comment was that I hope that when we're building our municipal building that we're looking, we're going to do the energy audit before we do the install of our air exchangers and so on to make sure we're not faced with the same scenario in 5 years' time there. But it's because of the pool and the taking, how they recapture the heat from the ice building equipment with the pool and everything else in there. It's just not built the way it should be built. The systems are working against each other.
Thank you. Any other questions from around the table?
So Mr. Chair, if I could just add one point. We are going to be requesting, not today, but we are going to be requesting pre-budget approval for the capital work because the plan, the timeline for the plan to have this work done is rather aggressive. We're trying to have the work completed over a three-week period in July where the LCLC and primarily the rink component will be closed. So we're looking to line things up in a timely fashion through the through a project manager that will oversee the work, through a tender process for a company to do the recommended capital improvement. So it's we're trying to do it in a way that minimizes the disruption to the LCLC.
Any further questions? You moved your hand there, Alex. I'm triggered. Councillor Noss, yes, sorry.
I'm pleased that we did have foresight enough to put in reserve funding for to correct things like this rather than have it there. And this is the way we should be operating with all our buildings. Set up a reserve fund and make sure that there's money there when there's breakdowns that we don't have to go back to the taxpayer.
Thank you for those comments. Councillor Carver.
What happens, though, if they do all this work and we don't save $250,000 a year on heating?
So part of the process that we're going through is having Efficiency Nova Scotia review the track report to confirm their numbers, and then a peer review by an outside firm that will be just looking at the track report and looking at the numbers to confirm that what they're saying is accurate. So we feel that we're being diligent in trying to confirm that what the results that they're saying we're going to get, we will get. If that doesn't happen, then we won't see the projected savings. But the track seem fairly confident in their numbers, and if we have two other entities review it, our hope is that we'll have a reasonable level of assurance that we will achieve those results. But of course, they're not guaranteed.
Okay.
I have two questions, if I may, if there are none other from the table. First of all, at our March 10th meeting, will council be asked for pre-budget approval for this expenditure,
or yes.
to pass the actual budgets for the Lifestyle Center?
Just the pre-budget approval.
So just to be aware of that, please, that there will be pre-budget approval. And also, can that report from TRAC be circulated to any members of council who wish to receive it?
So we don't have the final TRAC report yet, but we can circulate the draft.
The scoping study?
Yes.
Yes. If anybody would like to see that report, it is long, but it's not hard to get the essential information out of it. If you wish, I presume, just let Tom know. Just make you know. Your Worship.
And I guess the reason for the pre-budget approval is the timeline that you need to go out to tender for this project and to hit that window in the summer of 3 weeks so that you can shut the facility down and be able to do this. If we waited till May, that window would be missed.
Right. Any further comments? Well, thank you for that good news. We will proceed, I believe, we're on to 11.1.1, the capital budget and five-year capital plan. You're going to lead this, Elena?
I will lead this, yes.
Okay. How do you want to handle questions as far as we go?
I would, you council or the committee is able to ask them as we go, certainly, and I would ask that the directors would come up so that as we move forward, they can answer the questions for you. That would probably be the best, that way they can help with this presentation because it's kind of, we've reorganized this this budget for your information so that it matches more your own strategic alignment and your strategic priorities, so it's not really by department anymore. So we're hoping that that's easier for you to follow. And I don't, can we ask them to take the empty chairs too or no?
Sure, I have no problem. Also, do we want the lights off in the middle of the room? It just makes the screen less glary. Yeah. Sorry?
Less glare.
Yeah.
Yes.
And some of you may have realized that the information, the spreadsheet, for example, was available. You were made aware that it was available in your boxes on Thursday,
yes.
So you had a chance to come in and pick them up ahead of the meeting, and I believe that'll be standard procedure. Can it be for documents like this?
Certainly, we can make sure that these are available on the Friday before.
Okay.
So that, especially on the big ones, that you have a chance to be able to read them properly.
So Friday before the meeting, so the spreadsheets, the big ones, will be available. All right. Over to you, okay. Ms. Wenzel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we have today our draft capital budget and gas tax investment for 2021. So we'll start with our five-year financial strategy. So as you know, in February of 2018, we accepted the modified debt affordability model as our five-year financial strategy. The strategy informs the budget process by giving council the ability to see how current and planned projects affect the municipal budget and in turn the tax rate. It's a tool that can help communicate why decisions are made and their effect on the municipality's finances. The development of the five-year financial strategy focused on council strategic priorities, being debt-free by October 2021, the desire to maintain stable tax rates, the ability to add special rates for new infrastructure as required, and the ability to carefully manage reserves and continue to fund current commitments. The debt affordability model considered municipal future revenue and expenditure growth. We look at the impact on the tax burden of future generations. We look at population and economic growth and the effects of maintaining the current municipal tax rate, ensuring current municipal services are not jeopardized. The debt affordability model allows decision makers flexibility to plan for the future, the ability to develop future capital improvement plans in a balanced, measured way, the ability to prioritize capital projects that are competing for scarce resources, and the ability to develop a long-term financial plan. So if we look at our strategic priorities that Municipal Council approved for 2020-21, the draft capital budget includes $9.5 million to make these priorities a reality. $2.2 million is placed in the operating budget to invest in non-owned infrastructure, including rural internet solutions, road partnerships with NSTIR, and trails. So we have a five-year financial strategy to meet your sound finances priority. Under economic development, we're continuing with the rural internet plan. Sustainable planning, we're looking at the climate emergency response, Petite Riviere route watershed, and flood mitigation projects. To improve community services, our road strategy, the NSTIR cost sharing partnership, and our own municipal roads. Our forward-looking administration is completing the municipal services building in this fiscal year, as well investing in our infrastructure with the LaHave River Straight Pipe project, and recreational infrastructure including River Ridge Common, Osprey Village Trail, Mark Improvements, and LaHave Sunset Park. We'll now look at the draft capital budget individual items. So what you have before you, you have a very large spreadsheet that shows every item and our plan for the 5 years with those projects. And these slides will focus on your 2020-21 draft budget. So as we know, the budget process starts every fall when we hold public consultations with your government, your ideas. These meetings were held in October and November of 2019. Council approved the strategic priorities derived from these meetings on January 14, 2020. And these priorities are feeding the budget process, which starts with this meeting today. So as you can see, today we do our draft capital and five-year financial strategy review. April 7th, we'll look at our operating budget, draft operating budgets, and our service levels. On the 14th of April, we'll look at our updated draft operating capital budgets. On May the 5th, there will be a final budget review and your key budget messages, and the plan is on May 12th, our final budget presentation will occur. So this slide shows you that our total projects for this year, we have 11.298 draft capital budget million, 11.298 million, and 2.2 million in gas tax investment. There's 32 projects, it's 13.5 million in total. Municipal services building is 35% of the draft budget, which is in your infrastructure investment. Environmental protection includes wastewater treatment and LaHave River project at 29%. Infrastructure investment on road paving, sidewalks, and active transportation is 28%. Local economic development, your internet investment is 4%. Recreational infrastructure, 4%. And sustainable planning and climate change mitigation is 1%. Climate change is quite low right now because we need to do some more work to inform what the future plans will be with our climate change mitigation plans. So the funding for this draft capital budget that you have before you includes depreciation reserves of $5.7 million, gas tax reserves of $4.4 million, provincial and federal grants of $2.5 million, other reserves, our own operating reserves of $480,000, other contributions of $274,000, and some capital reserves of $15,000. And this continues Council's strategic plan of spending all of provincial and federal monies and gas tax and those things, leverage other monies first and then spending your own reserves as a secondary measure. So this is a new slide in your capital budget presentation. You haven't seen something like this before. This is our draft capital budget and gas tax investment called Past, Present, and Future. So what it's looking at is the council term to date and the plan for the next 5 years. So to date, the buildings and vehicle investment, which is our big infrastructure, is $3.6 million we spent to date and $5.5 million planned. In infrastructure investment on road paving, sidewalks, and active transportation, we spent $5.2 million to date and $6.4 million is planned. Environmental protection, including wastewater treatment plant upgrades and the LaHave River project, is $4.3 million spent to date and $12.2 million planned. local economic development and internet investment, we've had $703,000 spent to date and $2.3 million planned. Sustainable planning and climate change mitigation, $321,000 to date and $367,000 planned. Recreation infrastructure, $1.8 million to date and $1.7 million planned, for a total to date of $16 million, and planned projects of $28.6 million. Certainly.
Your Worship, Mayor Volvo-Gusson.
Just one question in relation to the infrastructure investment, buildings and vehicles. The big change in the green there is the so much of the building being paid for now and the remainder being paid for in that other piece, correct?
That's correct.
It's not that we're looking at any other major new project.
No, that's right. It's a municipal services building and
the way it's being funded.
So, okay. You know, the way it's construction to date and what you've got completed to date on the construction phase, as you know, you approved $7.6 million to build this building, and about $2.8 million is being spent in the current fiscal with the $4.6 million in the next fiscal. So that's where you see.
So a lot of what we're seeing here, and these are the commitments that we have already made.
That's true.
Projects it out for the next 5 years. So it's looking at the La Haye River project and so on. So they're commitments that we have already
moved. Some of them are commitments that you have already made. That's correct.
Carry on, please.
Certainly. So as per our five-year financial strategy, capital and operating budget projections are assessed against our available reserves. Our projected reserves continue to show that MODL is in a strong financial position. On this slide, you can see the dark blue is your operating reserves, the light blue is your capital reserves, and the red line is the financial condition index threshold for operating reserves only. So you can see that those operating reserves never go below the FCI threshold, so you will always get a good indicator on that. So we are keeping enough in reserves per the provincial threshold. And this is a big picture slide. It shows all the proposed capital projects in this five-year financial plan. As well as one of your council priorities is to be debt-free by 2021. And as you can see, the existing debt, we'll be paying $2.4 million on it in this current fiscal year coming up, which is paying out the Exit 12 development loan because after a 15-year it came due. So we'll pay out that balloon payment just as we plan to do, $1.2 million in June. And then next October, we will pay out the remaining loans and you will be debt-free.
So, excuse me. Oh, wrong one. Do we have any questions on the first section in reflection? All right. Sorry, Councillor Noss.
I'm pleased that we set a term on being debt-free and that we stayed on to it. And let's hope that we continue to work in the same way, because there's very few municipalities throughout the province that can say that.
That is true.
So we can be proud of ourselves.
Okay. No further comments. We'll carry on.
So we will now review the details of the draft capital budget. And we will begin with the municipal services building. And I'll let Stephen take that over.
Let's start with this. The municipal services building, so we have an approved construction budget of just over $7.4 million. Current completion of the building construction, total cost to date, some of these are old costs from years ago when we looked at some options and analysis of this building and also for planning purposes, and those are $26,000 and $18,000. We have some minor project disbursements. The bulk of it is in professional services, which would be the design team, IBI and so on, and also Catalyst would also be in that category as well. And construction to date, we've spent about $2.5 million approximately, and that's broken down into all the site work that Dexter did originally in that first phase, which was about $500,000 building the base up, and the remainder would be for Roskill construction. And the funding is from capital, gas tax, and operating reserves, and the sale proceeds from this building.
Thank you. I have a question, if I may. your municipal services building costs, the construction costs, that's the actual cost of construction, not the architectural fees and the consulting fees from Catalyst and that. Is that correct?
It's the 7.5 million, 7.469, that million.
Sorry?
The 7.469.
Yeah.
That would include design fees. That's
that
overall.
Design. But you're saying the professional services at the bottom there, 685, what would that be?
Again, that would please? Be IBI, that would be the lead design turn, and all the mechanical, electrical, all the design team. So the electrical engineers, mechanical, the architects, structural engineers, and municipal engineers, and so on. That
okay,
would all
so
come under professional, as well as catalysts themselves.
Okay, so piece. Technically that is included in the cost of the building, correct?
Yes.
All right, so all right, I explains two figures I've been working with. I see it now. Thank you.
Okay, good.
Carry on, please, if you wish.
The next one, engineering department vehicles. We're looking at two vehicles. One is a new electric vehicle we're proposing for the facilities manager. That's the new position. And the other one is a new vehicle to for the park staff to replace the old 2007 Mazda truck. Currently has over 200,000 kilometers. And there's a lot of new activity in the electrical vehicle arena right now. There's potential grants, including a $5,000 rebate off the purchase right off the top. So they're running around $40,000 for a typical electrical vehicle that would be suitable for us, and there's a $5,000 rebate right off the top, bring it down. And then from that, there's also new grants coming available that Amy's been exploring that will actually contribute up to 50%. It's just a new program being introduced, so we're doing some homework there. So that's why we put potential grants. There's new activity there, up to a maximum of $150,000.
Any questions? Sorry, Your Worship.
And again, I see looks around the table when we said facilities manager. Can you explain what that position is and whose that position was in the past? Or
That's a new position that was formerly the CET position, and we've repackaged that position and went to the market for facilities manager to look after facilities. The new building, it would be like the MARC facilities, the parks, the CEF building, and including even the buildings themselves, at say Cookeville Wastewater Treatment Plant, all buildings would come under this umbrella for this role. So this is a...
You said it was which position in the past?
It was
using Acrement.
Oh, which, CET position.
Which was?
The Matt Appleby's position?
Yes.
Yes.
But what does that stand for, CET?
Certified Engineering
okay.
Technologist. Yeah.
Thank you. Just a question I have. What would be the approximate cost of the vehicle for the electric one?
They're listed at $40,000.
$40,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Nels?
I would hope we have a better design than the ones that they had in the Chronicle Herald yesterday. If anybody saw those. Oh, God.
Sorry, I didn't see the Chronicle Herald. But
Somebody is looking to make some money in design changes.
Okay. Well, it's an evolving field. All right. We'll move on to our next.
Next one is infrastructure improvements to our municipal road network. And we've allotted $75,000, and that's to address a couple of projects for municipal roads that really is over and above the operating costs. And also, part of about $50,000 would be to do some capital projects on our existing roads that we've already that belong to us. And we've also had about a $25,000 allocation in there for design in this coming year for another potential road paving project in the next year, and that way it's design ready, shelf ready, if you like. That way, so we've allocated some monies in there for this coming year to get a design package ready for the next year. So that's, and that funding is all from gas tax reserve. The next one is the road paving of Harold Wynot and Craig Chandler Road, those two road networks. We I do have a design package in the final stage there, so it will be tender ready for early this year if the council decides to proceed with that. And that's for upgrading paving. We say upgrading because it's not just paving, there's other upgrades required. Paving and also construction supervision, and that's that component that we want to have a third-party professional site services on site to monitor contractors. So that is the estimate, $878,000 for that road bundle, and that's funded through gas tax and depreciation reserve.
Councillor Noss.
Are these roads part of the roads that we're working with the province on? I didn't think so.
And no, these are municipal
roads.
These
are 100% our roads.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any further comments? Councilor Mayor Valdivieson.
Again, these prices are estimates, correct?
They're estimates, yes. We do have.
It will depend on the market what they come in at.
And we've learned in the past that hitting the market at the right time is key.
Very important.
And so that's why we've actually got the design for these, and there's another one coming up front, and that way council, once they decide, it'll be able to be tendered early in the season.
Supplementary?
So these are shelf-ready or close to being shelf-ready right now.
Yes.
Is there, if council was to proceed, and I say if, these are the wishes of council to proceed with these, is there an advantage of pre-budget approval to get ahead of the construction season with getting them out there now?
Well, if these are approved in this budget season, then they would be approved to go out early in this year. Oh, pre-budget for this year.
Pre-budget for this year so that when construction season starts, we would be ready to start.
There would definitely be a
start. Because I know that provincial-wise, if you were going to do a road in the spring, you usually tendered in the fall for those. And
on the ones we did last year, the CEF parking lot and the Nathan Cirilla, we did early in the year, and we got good pricing. So it would be advantageous to go out if we wanted them done this year. Other than that, they are design-ready package. They will be, and then we can decide what year we want to do them in, if this is the best year. But we are getting behind the eight ball for this year, for sure.
Thank you. We have a comment from our Deputy CEO.
to the Mayor's point, pre-budget approval would be good for pricing, but it was important that it comes as part of the big picture because they're major expenditures. So council has to be comfortable with the expense and what year it's happening. Once the big picture is a little settled, then we can look for a motion to go ahead with whatever paving projects you decide.
Smaller items. We feel more comfortable with pre-budget approval. But this is a big number.
Any other comments? Proceed, please.
The next bundle is the Meldrum, Bonavista, and Aspen, and that is a very similar price. And again, that's upgrades, paving, and construction supervision for that bundle of three streets, and that's funded through depreciation reserves. So between the two, you can see it's a significant amount of money, about $1.7 million.
Councillor Noss, and then Councillor Bell.
Is there any cost sharing with the residents? Okay. Here.
No. The first bundle did go to petition last year, and we lost by one vote. So,
Councillor Bell?
Commenting about Melbourne and Bonavista and Aspen, this here is an area that has had constant communications from residents. I know them actually. I'm first name basis, Andrew Stewart, Chanel Judge. I'm saying this because they talk to me. I'm not trying to hide their names. Bradley Judge, Megan Donut, Morgan Donut, Graham Archibald, Kathy Archibald, Adam Kenny, Erica Kenny, Sheila Lee, Mark Lee, Bernie DeCour. These people live on a road that constantly washes out. The Class A that we put on to do improvements actually runs down into the ditch, plugs up the culverts, and I must say that our engineering department has done a remarkable job to responding to these complaints and concerns. I'm not being critical to engineering in any way, they have been very good at working. I even had school bus drivers who own no property there saying that because of the washboarding in one particular part of the hill, the concern that the children's going to take their teeth out on the seat in front of them. And I drove in a school bus 50 years ago. I know what happened. We used to think it was fun when you hit a bump, but I look at it differently now, and I know the dangers involved. I really do think that putting a hard surface on these roads over time will actually save us money for the amount of work that we do with dust abatement twice a year, grading twice a year or as needed, and on all these other fixes. So I just had to put that plug in because I believe me, I hear more from this three streets than I do the rest of my district.
All right, thank you. Any other comments? Move on, please.
Next one is Center School. I want to keep that on the council's radar. There's been some environmental ESA work done in the past. We're looking at primarily focusing on the building demolition only, not anything to do with the site. Right now, we're looking at ongoing monitoring. We have a fire alarm system throughout the building. We have burglar alarm in one portion of the building. And we do tend to have regular, fairly ongoing break-ins at the site. We had one on New Year's Eve for a few people around the table that got calls on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Went in and turned all the lights on in the building and smashed the doors, and we were dealing with that in New Year's. So we have boarded up windows, and we continue to board up more and more as they occur. The buildings are full of hazardous materials. There's asbestos and molds are the two primary concerns. There's other materials, but those are the ones mostly, and they require proper PPE to enter the buildings and for people breaking in. It is a liability for the municipality. There hasn't been a lot of work. There's been some testing in the area. But this is $100,000 sort of earmarked to start more environmental assessment work of the building itself. We have had like some work done. It's not exactly shelf ready. Riverport, which will come up next, was sort of shelf ready when the opportunities come by for grant funding. It was all the background work was done. So this is sort of earmarked to get some a little bit more work done in that area. So we're ready to go when the time is right. We have too much work now anyway, but we do want to keep it on the radar. It is a risk to the municipality to have a large vacant building.
Councillor Noss.
Yes, through you to the engineer. There is a fair amount of asbestos in that building, I'm quite sure.
A lot.
Because of the time when they built it in 58, 59.
Yeah.
Asbestos was quite common.
Yeah, particularly the wing on the right that comes out, that is loaded.
Yeah.
That's got probably 3/4 the asbestos in the whole building in that one wing. So it's.
I have a question, if I may. When does this become a dangerous building, and we're forced to tear it down?
It's.
I'll leave that open-ended if you wish. If you don't wish to comment, but I do question: is it not possible to dislabel some of the lights in the building without turning off the electricity?
We could just. I think this was the first time this happened. It's convenient to have lighting when you're going in the building at night. You know, if there's a break-in, you know,
right.
Whoever responds to the. it was a multi-alarm event. Who the RCMP will only respond if it's more than one zone. If it's a one alarm event, they won't respond. But this was a. So if you're in the building trying to explore, it's nice to have lighting. But it's something we could, you know. Look, we have the fire alarm system throughout the building, and the burglar alarm is just in the one section that was formerly with the museum area.
Mm-hmm.
So if they break in other areas of the school, the alarms don't trip. But yeah, the lights didn't hurt anything really, except for they're convenient to have if you do have to go in the building.
Of course. All right. If there are no further questions, we'll proceed, please.
Riverport School, just over $1 million, $1,069,000. This one has been in the works for number of years. We've had an ESA, an Environmental Site Assessment, level 1, 2, and 3 done by Strum Consulting, and those were all completed. We had cost estimates done by them. We had all our homework done. And last year we had the opportunity through a grant funding that actually supported it, 74% of the demolition costs. So we were able to, we were successful in achieving that grant. And currently where that project is it's out to RFP now, selecting a project manager and a professional site professional for the project. And they will put together the tender package, which will go to contract, and that's including the building and site remediation, both components. So we do expect to have that done within this fiscal year. So that's the whole cost. It's expected to be done by the end of March, hopefully sooner. I really want it done by, you know, Christmas. So that's where that one is at now. So that's kind of a moving forward.
Sorry? Okay. No.
This next one.
That was a question.
Garden lots, sewer and water upgrades. There's about 25 homes roughly in that area, and that have problems with both sewer and water. And so we do have a study right now that we have a grant for $75,000. And that's currently being done by EXP Services, that study. And basically they're looking at options and evaluating different options to solve the wastewater issue and the domestic water issue in the area. Some options may include on-site wastewater treatment for each individual house, or it may be a collective wastewater plant for those homes. Or on the water side, it can be individual wells or community well. And another option that is somewhat preferred in many respects is to hook into the town of Lunenburg's water system and wastewater system. So when we look at budget years now, we don't know which option is going to come out in the best. We do hope to have that study done early, later this spring we'll have the report. But any tie-in, we don't really know the dollar value of what we're of the different options. But one thing is that if we did look at hooking in with the town of Lunenburg's systems, we're going to be looking at negotiating some sort of a connection. And through that, we anticipate the need for some technical support to evaluate their capacities and their service lines and so on. So we've earmarked about $75,000 for this budget year for that activity.
Councillor Noss.
The reasons we haven't hooked into the town of Lunenburg, their system, and I don't know if it's up to approved standards or not. And once we hook into it, then we're responsible to help pay for what they haven't put in properly. And that's why this municipality is, no, until Lunenburg brings it up to standards, then we should not be looking at hooking into it, because then we're responsible for what they did wrong.
And we may have to contribute some towards their capital, and that's why we've sort of allowed, and even if we go with the options of a community well and on-site systems, it's going to take a design period, so the $75,000 would kind of address either one, and then year two would be when we actually do the capital work. That's kind of the way we see it rolling out.
No further questions. Let's go forward. Yes.
Next one is LaHave River Sewage Solutions, and that is looking on target this year, year three of installations. Design, install on-site sewer systems for properties with straight pipes into LaHave. We have two-thirds funding from New Build Canada Fund, with the federal government contributing a third, and a third from the provincial government, and a third depreciation reserves to be paid back by participating property owners. And as Maria's most recent report, and it's continuing on in recent weeks since then, it's going well and on schedule. So. Conco Bank, this is a smaller issue, but we did want to highlight it. And the Conco Bank wastewater treatment plant, we're looking at some $15,000 earmarked to a design effluent pH adjustment. We've had some, our pH levels have been off, so we've want to address that with a $15,000 upgrade to that plant. The next one is Conco Bank wastewater treatment plant generator. Right now, there's no emergency backup power for that plant when the power goes out. Both New Germany and Cookeville have generators, so we do have emergency power in those other plants. And this is the only one of the three plants we don't have generator power. We did explore the suitability of the one out back here at 210 Aberdeen for the suitability. We had ONSA, O'Neill Scriven, mechanical electrical engineers that are actually working on our other building, just do an assessment to see if it was appropriate, and they've come back to us and said it wasn't appropriate. It was too large and the wrong phase. So we've had that looked, and we're hoping to relocate that one. So we have allowed $50,000 there for a generator for that plant.
Okay, Your Worship, you had a question?
Should I ask what happens when the power is off?
No. We have had a couple of spills out of a lift station down there as well into TIR property. It doesn't get treated.
If I may ask a question, if the one out back here is not suitable, could it not be sold to raise money to go towards this new one?
And that's what we're now trying to explore other potential places for it.
No, but I mean, could it not be sold?
It could be sold. It could be sold with the building. We could try to sell it, or we could try to find another suitable location. And I think we're looking at the Merrick possibly.
We've had some initial discussions since it's not necessarily appropriate for a wastewater treatment plant. Is there some other municipal purpose? Because it's likely we would get better value by reusing it ourselves than trying to sell it through surplus. So we have started discussions with REMO looking at whether or not we can address a gap in our space for emergency overnight shelters by using that generator. If that doesn't come through, then I think surplus is likely the next course for the generator.
It's definitely more of a, there's only, I think, 200 and some hours on that, and you don't typically get a lot secondhand. ONSA guessed that we would probably get $20,000 to $25,000, I think, for it, and to do that install here, it would have cost well over $100,000. So we're just trying to see if we can use it anywhere and exploring all options as our priority.
Any other questions? No? Yeah, Councilor Noss.
I know there's a fire department looking at trying to find a generator or money to buy a generator so they can keep their fire department open on emergencies. So,
and that would be through the REMO. New Germany wastewater treatment pipe repairs, $190,000. There was a study done by Design Point over a period of, it was completed in 2018, and it identified inflow and infiltration studies in the New Germany area. And basically, inflow and infiltration is when you have a major rain event, and particularly in the spring, like March season, is when you really get the big inflows. It's basically inflow and infiltration of groundwater into the wastewater treatment system, so it tends to dilute all the effluent, and it's not easily treated, and also it typically exceeds the capacity of the plant to treat. So typically with it happens with older systems through time, and what they've done is basically gone in the study and identified the major sources. They've videoed the lines, and they've done site inspections during these major main rain events. They'll flip the top off manholes and see where the main, it's a bit of a detective work, really. So that work has all been done, and it's come up with recommendations to replace sections of this underground wastewater lines, sewer lines, and also work around manholes. And so they've identified a whole group of where to put the main efforts. You can't replace the whole system, but sometimes you can get the 80-20 rule. You can replace a small portion and really get a lot of bang for the buck. So this is we're earmarking this not for work this year, but we'd have to get a tender package ready. But this is one that it would be advantageous to go to market early next year, like in the kind of for the tender for better pricing, like in say this time next year. So we could get the tender package ready this year and have it. If we wait until a budget approval next year, then we've kind of missed that window again, and you get into higher pricing later in the season if you go out in May, June. So we kind of looked at this as trying to resolve this, get this in the system for next year, but starting some of the dollars will be spent this year and some next year.
Any questions? Councillor Noss?
I hope that we can get this repaired, because the system was put in, I think, in 78, and I think in 1980 we had the problems of the residents dumping their eavesdrop into the system and flooding it. And it was studied, restudied, studied again, then restudied, and we knew all the problems, but that's as far as it ever goes to a study. So it's time we get it straightened out.
Thank you. Councilor Moore. Councillor Noss, if you could. Thank you.
Where am I here?
Plug it in, it might help.
The INI study that was done did go in on people's properties and determine if there drain water or whatever was going into the system, and a lot of those people have corrected the situation on their property after the study, because I know every house was not visited, and so my phone was ringing off the hook, because one person was made to clean up their act and the next door neighbor wasn't. So it was the study, they went in and they just looked at elevations of some of the homes and drainage going into the main system, and those were the houses that were picked. So a lot of those properties have been fixed. But this here is the actual our infrastructure of the municipality that needs to be, that was a big problem when they done the study, when they done the videoing of the sewer system within our right of way and everything. That's where the major problems were.
We have pipes we have pipes video.
Sorry, do you want to respond to that, please? And then, Alex, do you want to go?
Yeah, just some additional history. So, the last inflow and infiltration study that was done, as Councillor Moore has pointed out, there were corrections made from the end user, or the input from the homes. We've also had some capital items, so there's been at least one catch basin that was rebuilt as a result of that study, so that reduced inflow. And Stephen can speak to this particular capital project, but I know it is a recurring item, so it seems like it's always there, but it's the nature of water. It's trying to get into the easiest place to flow, and we want to reduce the amount of clean water that we're treating.
And some of the videos do demonstrate that some of the pipes have flattened, if you like, and broken away from interior, like some of the old materials. So it's to address some of those areas. And this year will also allow us more time to identify. We're a little concerned on the storm side as well. Is there more to be tied in? And what is the storm system? Is it adequate? So it'll give us more time this year to do that before we actually do the work next year. It's kind of like an ongoing program when you get older systems. But if you can get the biggest ones off, that's good.
A question for myself, please, just for clarification. Is manholes still appropriate?
Yes.
It is? Okay. I hear them referred to as personnel access portals as well.
I haven't heard that one.
No, that's fine. Okay. I just want to get the terminology clear here, because, all right, so we're going into local economic development, I believe. Is that correct, Dave? You're going to take over?
Sure.
Want to take a 15-minute break or 10-minute break? And then I don't mean to...
No, it's fine with me.
It gives you more chance to prepare. So let's reconvene, please, at 17 minutes past, almost 20. Thank you.